The worst week yet. May 19th to 25th, 2024. Steve Saylor, a satanic Jewish agent of the deep state? I used to edit Steve Saylor's articles at Tacky's Mag from around 2010 to 2014. His points were always impeccably argued and perfectly sourced. I can't ever recall running across a typo or even a wisp of illogic. This was back in the essayist days of what now calls itself the dissident right, when anti-leftist and anti-egalitarian ideas were so utterly banished from public discourse that anyone who wanted to step up to the plate and take a swing at everything the left was getting wrong took great pains to present their case with the rigor of a defense attorney trying to exonerate a client who'd wrongly been accused of murder. If they got even one minor fact wrong, it'd be amplified beyond reason and used to dismiss their entire argument. You know the routine. Although I was vaguely aware back then that Steve was a Catholic, I can't recall him ever making a point of it in his essays, because this was also back in the days when people didn't make a habit of conflating spiritual matters with temporal ones. These topics were rightly kept separate. This was before the onset of what I've come to call the Great Replacement 2.0, replacing race with religion. This was also back when the culture wars weren't seen as the only locus of political discussion. You may remember phenomena such as the Tea Party and Occupy Wall Street. This was back when people actually talked about economics. It was also back when the federal debt was roughly a third of what it is now, and hamburgers didn't cost $20. It seems suspicious to me that with the economy less stable than perhaps it's ever been, with the dollar's global hegemony evaporating, and with automation and immigration poised to snap up not only the jobs that Americans supposedly don't want to do, but every job that humans used to consider safe from automation, everyone's attention seems focused on either the phantom demons of, pick one, racism, sexism, and transphobia, or godlessness, degeneracy, and modernity. At least with things such as economics, you could run the numbers. To a large degree, economics could be quantified objectively. But whether or not something is racist or degenerate is purely a matter of opinion and, therefore, subject to histrionic hissy fits that rely not on evidence, but on finger-pointing. People these days seem to have their heads in the clouds and have forgotten that all of our real problems are on the ground. Whereas the political right, at least as I perceived it, used to be about facts and reason, it's lately taken on much of the shrill moralistic finger-pointing of the woke left. Someone somewhere decided that the best way to fight the new church ladies was by dragging the old church ladies out of their crypt, dusting them off, and giving them their marching orders. In the last 10 years, the world has taken a sharply un-Saylor-like turn. I suspect that creeping polarization has alienated the left and right to such a degree that there's a giant Gaza wall between the two camps that have made it so they don't even talk to one another anymore because they now speak two fundamentally different languages. If you notice, I keep emphasizing that I'm unsure about things. I've also noticed that these days, hardly anyone uses such qualifiers. I've never seen a time since I was born where people knew less but spoke with more certainty. If you notice, I'm also using the word notice a lot. I believe that what passes for the modern left and right have morphed, possibly by design, into what are essentially warring religious cults, neither of which is based on reason, and both of which are founded on the premise that they are the guardians of absolute moral truth. But since morality is a subjective matter that can't be measured, it also allows both sides to run wild with false accusations, leaps of faith, and shoddy or even non-existent research. Facts don't matter when you're on the good side. But now, since the left and right don't even talk to one another anymore, the right has been engaged in a non-stop war with itself. Whereas the left has its occasional trifling intersectional squabbles between, say, feminists and trannies, Ever since Charlottesville, the right is eagerly self-cannibalizing over generational pissing contests, gender wars, class issues, metaphysics versus physics, and the dizzying, migraine-inducing, and eternally unspooling quest to be ideologically purer than your twin brother. And, of course, there's the perpetually divisive JQ. It's a pertinent question, and one that's been buried far deeper than any other, for reasons that should be obvious. After October 7th finally unleashed the JQ as a question that you can ask without being beheaded or unpersoned, everyone is constantly accusing everyone else of either overdoing it or underdoing it, with results that are at once insane, comical, and depressing. Now that Steve Saylor is finally getting his moment in the spotlight with the release of his anthology, Noticing, people who aren't qualified to carry his jockstrap are attacking him. But unlike 10 years ago, it seems as if most, if not all, of his antagonists are coming from the political right. I'm not even sure that the left notices him anymore. You may not have noticed, but over the past few years, there's been an extremely loud, aggressive, obnoxious, self-righteous, and reality-averse contingent of right-wing dissidents who, despite their alleged savior's admonitions, self-righteously thump their chests in public, cast stones, and judge others. And since they don't even follow what they claim to believe, they can also be trusted to be entirely untrustworthy when it comes to matters of fact. They're claiming that Steve Saylor is both a Satanist and a Jew who has aggressively tried to hide both facts. Neither allegation is true, but truth has never mattered to fanatics. I first became aware of the Satanist allegation when my name was dragged into the fray. I stood accused of being the photographer of a picture taken in San Francisco on 8-8-88 at an event that somehow melded Satanism, Nazism, and the Manson family. I can positively identify most of the people in that picture, from left to right. Zena LaVey, daughter of Church of Satan founder Anton LaVey, who never believed in a literal Satan and was more of an accomplished huckster and proto-troll. LaVey authored the Satanic Bible, whose most gripping passages were all in the first 10 pages, which were plagiarized word for word from the 1896 social Darwinist book, Might is Right. LaVey's birth name was Howard Stanton Levy, and I've received word from an insider that he was at least part biologically Jewish. Adam Parfrey, publisher of Feral House Books, who was also Jewish, and once told me that he liked hanging around Nazis because he heard how his parents would scream about bigotry in public and how they spoke about the stupid Goyim in private. Boyd Rice, who performed as a one-man industrial noise music act called Non, referred to himself as an occult fascist, and was chummy with people such as James Mason of Siege infamy. After Anton LaVey died, Rice briefly attempted to take over the Church of Satan. Felina Byron, who I'm guessing was the girlfriend of Evil Wilhelm, who was a musician in Nicholas Schreck's fascistic goth band, Radio Werewolf. Tammy S. I have no idea who that is. Nick Bugis, an absolute prince among men and a miracle worker in the sense that I've known him for over 30 years, and he's never once annoyed me. Nicholas Schreck, lead singer of Radio Werewolf and former husband of Zena LaVey. Schreck's real name is Barry Dubin. He is biologically Jewish. Wendy Van Dusen, another neo-fascist noise musician. Bob Hike, San Francisco's skinhead and founder of the American Front. I have no idea who TOS Saylor is, S-A-I-L-O-R, but the E-tards are accusing him of being Steve Saylor, S-A-I-L-E-R. They are also claiming that the TOS stands for Temple of Set, the Church of Satan's bitter rival, and whose members would probably not want to be photographed hanging out with enemies. All the evidence that this is Steve Saylor is predicated on the idea that, well, sailor with an E and sailor with an O, are almost the same word, and that they are supposedly dead ringers for one another. I can sort of see a resemblance in the eyes, despite the fact that sailors are blue and sailor with an O appear to be brown, but that's where it ends. The sinister connection they're attempting to make is that since I know both Sailor and Bugis, I must have taken the picture, and that we all must be embroiled in a satanic Jewish conspiracy. This picture was taken on August 8, 1988. I didn't meet Nick Bugis until the spring of 1992. I have never met Steve Sailor nor spoken with him. We've only communicated by email when I was editing his articles. The other allegation that the truth-averse e-Catholics are tossing around is that Steve Sailor has for years avoided the idea that he's Jewish and has recently taken to downplaying the Jewish role in American progressivism. Both allegations are provably untrue. In a 2016 essay, Sailor claims that he was adopted, but in his teens concluded that he was probably half-Jewish biologically. For an extreme example of how proto-Semitism can come about within an individual merely through genes alone, consider me. Although I'm Catholic, I became very pro-Semitic at the age of 13, when my powers of logic kicked in, and my hair turned curly. Since I was adopted, a few years later I concluded that it was likely that I was half-Jewish biologically, which indeed appears to be the case based on evidence my wife dug up when I was 30. In a May 7th interview with the Red Scare podcast, when he was asked about the results of his 23andMe DNA test, Sailor replied, "I'm not going to go into that in particular because it's kind of tied into other people in my life. But yeah, it's basically what I've assumed since I was in high school." The usual suspects, but of course, ran with this as evidence that he was denying Jewish ancestry. I have no idea what he meant by, "it's kind of tied to other people in my life," but when he said, "it's basically what I assumed since I was in high school," and he hasn't deleted the 2016 essay where he started assuming in high school that he had Jewish genes, only an idiotic ideologue would see his statement as a denial rather than an affirmation of Jewish ancestry. The article where Sailor supposedly downplayed Jewish influence on leftist politics was published on April 19th and called "The Roots of American Progressivism: Sample Passages." It's widely assumed, both by Jews and by anti-Semites, that the roots of American progressivism are heavily Jewish. Yet Jews had relatively little impact on the crucial first century of the American Republic, from the Declaration of Independence through the end of Reconstruction. But according to a 2020 review by Ricardo Duchesne, Kevin MacDonald said essentially the same thing in his most recent book. Chapter 6, Puritanism, the Rise of Egalitarian Individualism and Moralistic Utopianism, of Kevin MacDonald's Individualism and the Western Liberal Tradition, claims that Puritanism and the intellectual movements descending from this religion were the most important forces shaping the culture of the United States from the 18th century down to the mid-20th century. Puritanism and the WASP culture it engendered would cease to be hegemonic over American culture as Jews came to infiltrate critical sectors of American life from the early 1900s onward. Correct me if I'm wrong, but I was also under the impression that the rabid Cathtifa battalions, led by E. Michael Jones, have also been intensely critical of Protestant influence over American culture. If Steve Sailor made any tactical errors in this whole debacle, it was only attempting to argue with critics who don't argue in good faith and who only see good and evil rather than true and false. It was also a logistical error for him to use the unquantifiable term anti-Semites and to claim that only morons believe the Holocaust didn't happen without specifying exactly what he meant by the Holocaust. In summary, is he a Satanist? No, he's a Catholic. Is he a Jew? Not in the religious sense, but in his own words, he is at least partially Jewish biologically. Is he an agent of the deep state? Anyone's guess. The little I know about the deep state leads me to think that they kill the sort of people who try to unmask who's really working for them. Maybe if the political right went back to focusing on race and reason rather than religion and hysteria, they'd have a chance. But for the time being, and now more than ever, they are their own worst enemy.